Hi, everybody, it's Michelle, and this is our second call in our practical application series. So happy to see you here. And today, we didn't do this last time, but today we're going to begin, as I love to begin when I'm teaching, in Shavasana. Shavasana is final relaxation pose in yoga, and I want to tell you why we do this. If we are not present, if our energy is way out here, like mine was when I first arrived, like, oh, I got to plug in my computer. Oh, and I arrived at 1 a.m. last night. I spoke in Salt Lake City yesterday. So if we're all everywhere, we can't find the words. I don't know how to find the words in that way. But if we can begin, as I encourage you all to start your day that way, if we can begin with the breath, if we can begin with a quiet space, then words come from a very different place. They're rooted. They are real. They are words that people can hear so that they can engage with us and the work that we do. So to do this, if you are not in a place where you can lie down, please do a seated meditation this time. And then for next time, try to find a place where you can lie down. And if you are driving, please pull over. For this part, you can have camera on or camera off. And then afterwards, we'll come back to the virtual circle. I really encourage you to have your camera on for that part. So either way is fine. If you are lying down, then you're going to find a space where you're not bumping into stuff around you. So not right beside a wall or some furniture, some place where there's open space. You're lying on your back and bend the knees. Tuck the tailbone, so make space through the low back, no big wow in the low back. Then extend one leg out and then the other and relax the legs to the floor. Dig the elbows into the floor so you can point the fingertips to the ceiling. Dig the elbows into the floor so you can lift and open the heart center. So Shavasana allows us right from the way that we set up our bodies to open the heart. And that's where the words come from. Our hearts need to be open. So often we want to protect ourselves and we close in and there's no way we can create connection, no way we can create communication, persuasion, anything with that heart closed. So digging the elbows in, opening the heart center, it literally opens our heart and figuratively does so as well. Then relax the arms. So the arms are straight, but they make a V with the body. So they're in a low V. Palms up position. We turn the palms up and you can try this out. Try placing the palms down on the floor. Notice how the chest collapses and the shoulders roll in. Then again, dig the elbows into the floor. Release the arms down to the floor with the palms facing up. The fingers are soft. The arms relaxed. And notice the difference in the chest. Notice the difference in the shoulders. And this is the place where Shavasana begins. So softly close the eyes. And again, if you've just joined us, if you're in a seated meditation, that's okay too. We're taking a few minutes at the beginning of the call to find that center, to find that place where the words come from. The words don't come from words. They come from the silence. I encourage you all to begin your day every day with a few minutes of Shavasana. It is a life-changing exercise. So again, the eyes are softly closed. Like the eyes closed, like a baby falling asleep. If you watched a baby falling asleep, it's just like a curtain coming down. The eyes just softly close. There's no effort. And then let the eyes sink back toward the back brain. This lets the mind become quiet. And feel that the ears are receding as well. Ears and eyes receding toward a point at the back brain. So in the yoga tradition, we call this pratyahara, withdrawal of the senses. Eyes and ears receding back as though my voice were coming from a long ways away. Go inward. Scan the body for any tension. And where you find tension, know that you've probably been holding it before this moment and it leaks energy. And then we don't have the energy to do what it is that we want to do on this planet, in our companies, in the world. So where you find tension, scan the body in your mind's eye. Where you find tension, direct the breath there. Breathe into that spot and let that tension go. We hold so much as human beings and certainly as entrepreneurs. Can you breathe into those tight spaces? So there's no holding. Ease. And then let the legs and arms release into the earth. Abdomen quiet. Shoulders relaxed, arms at ease, throat soft. Relax all the tiny muscles of the face. Now there's a face that we hold for the public eye. We don't mean to. I was just speaking yesterday. I probably had that too. You don't need that face here. Let that face go. Feel the softness that comes to the face as you just let that public face go. There's a face we hold for our families. Don't need that here. Let that face go too. Feel all the tiny muscles of the face soften. The cheeks, the jaw, the forehead, the space between the eyebrows. And watch the breath. This breath, it's a gift. We don't know how many breaths we're given. This time of year, I'm always acutely aware of that. Tomorrow would have been my man's birthday. We don't know how many breaths we're given. This breath, right here and now, this one, it's a gift. And each exhalation is a moment of trust, because we don't know if there's going to be another inhalation or not. One day there won't be. So as we exhale, we truly let go. And then inhaling with gratitude, another breath came. How beautiful is that? It means we have more to do on this planet. As you exhale, letting go, completely releasing. As you inhale, inhale with gratitude, watching the breath, letting all other thoughts drift away as unimportant right now, because your attention is solely on the breath. Entrepreneurs need the quality of focus. Shavasana teaches focus. Watch the breath. And as you watch the breath, can you be at ease no matter what? At ease when we drop into silence? At ease when there are words here to guide you? At ease when you've noticed a thought coming up? No judgment. At ease as you let it go and return to the breath. Finding ease here. Spaciousness. Heart open. Watch the breath. This quiet place of Shavasana, whatever quietness you've achieved today, just no judgment. It's perfect. It's your perfect Shavasana. Whatever quietness there is here, this is a receptive place for the mind, heart, spirit. So in this place, know that all is well. In this moment, all is well. Let yourself know that. All is well. Feel the ease in this moment. The openness of your heart center as you prepare to come out of Shavasana, not hanging on to it, just letting it go too. It begins just with a thought that soon you will move without needing to move, just a thought separating out thought and action. Just a thought, no reaction, just soon you will move. And allow the breath to deepen. Place the hands somewhere on the torso and feel the gentle movement of breath. Prana in the yoga tradition, life force energy. Feel the breath. Bend the knees, slowly roll to your right side, support your head with your upper arm, and wait. Softly, softly open the eyes, and keeping your gaze toward the floor, use your hands to press yourself gently up to sitting. Returning to our virtual circle, always camera on whenever possible, because that also teaches presence. Dottie, you're first. So good to see you here. It teaches presence. It teaches non-multitasking. Hi, Sherry. Hi, Yvonne. So great to see you returning. Hi, Judy. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to everyone, whether camera on, camera off, listening to the recording later, welcome. Let's just hear one or two people, just a sentence or two. What did you love in this practice? So the question is, what did you love? Judy, I'm just going to mute your line. You've got some noise in your line. Oh, thanks. You got it. What did you love here? What we focus on expands, and it's like, I see you, Dottie. So there's 10,000 things that we didn't love, and there's one thing that was beautiful, and we train our attention there, because then that's what grows. And then we have this practice here. We'll have that practice everywhere else where we move in the world. So Dottie, go ahead. A sentence or two. What did you love?
I've never done this before. I thought it was fantastic. And it, what I loved was that I don't have to be a victim anymore of my emotion or my negative thought that I might be thinking.
One practice. And hear that result. And what a gift for some of you, if you've been, and Dottie, I'm just going to mute you because a little feedback. Sometimes for those who've been practicing something, this practice or a similar one for many years, we can get jaded. Oh my goodness. One practice can feel like that, can open that much. I don't have to be a victim to that negative emotion again. Fabulous, Dottie. Beautiful. And in a few minutes. Thank you. Let's hear one more. What did you love this time with this practice here and now? Sherry, thank you.
So I was rushed coming into this and I hadn't prepared to lay down. And I love it. And I decided I would sit cross-legged in my chair. And by the time we finished, I had kind of settled into my body and I had relaxed. And now I can listen.
Oh, so good. And I was too. You saw how I came in. There's been a lot going on in my life. So, and I even practiced, did my yoga practice for, I don't know how long it was, maybe 3/4 of an hour this morning. It's been a full week this week. So I had 3/4 of an hour and even still lots going on. Oh, the computer's not plugged in. And could you hear my own energy settling? I'm not even doing it. I'm just speaking you through it and everything shifts. I was on a call with a couple of my accountability partners the other day. It was one of the rare days when I had not started my day this way. And they could tell it was like a different person had shown up. And in fact, this often happens to me because I have these two personalities, right? Or these two parts of me. They're both deeply a part of me. The trained yogi and the trained academic. The academic in me has lots of fuel and energy for getting projects done. But the negative side of that is like trained to, work 24/7. And I watch the academics dropping around me and dying of heart attacks and so on, right? And major accidents and so on. So I'm trained that way. And then the yogi in me counterbalances that and really has allowed me a different way of different access to words, different way of being. And so, and that when I tap into only that academic side and this, the yogi part of me is missing. And I want to give you access to both of those the best I can in the time we have together, because both serve the story pieces and the piece about words and the drive over here. And yoga is also has aspects of drive, but in Shavasana, it's the piece about from yoga that is a deep, deep letting go. And often what happens if I have not tapped into that, what my accountability partner started having me do is like, Michelle, breathe. I teach breath work. And so often I'll be on a call with a service provider. And if I have not done that work that day, they'll say, hey, you know, breathe. I can't tell you how many times people tell me that. I come by this practice, honestly. I need this too. I want this too. So whatever, yeah, I love that. Thanks, Dottie. So whatever has happened in your day before this moment, let this happen before any other moment. I've begun my day with not just Shavasana, but the breath work that is built on Shavasana, and Shavasana comes first. I have missed days rarely since summer of 2006, so 13 years now. I've been given bazillions of practices from my teachers. If I did them all, I wouldn't have time to do anything. I have kept the ones that make the most profound difference and shared them with you among the bazillions I have been given. And this one has a place in my life every single day. I've missed just a couple of days. One when I had to bring my daughter into emergency when we were down in the States at 5 a.m. one day. I missed that day. I missed a day last week. Strange. But I came to the practice later in the day. I made sure that I fit it in, right? And again, my accountability partners could tell. I don't think they've ever said to me so many times, Michelle, breathe. And I tried to say something like, Michelle, breathe. They're like, no, wait, I have to say this. Michelle, breathe. So it's for me too. I'm not above any of these teachings. I teach what works and what is meaningful and matters in my life as well. And my company changes everything. All right. Anything else wanting to be said about this practice today, this morning, or this afternoon, or evening, wherever, whatever it is for you? Dottie?
I wanted to be honoring to what you said and just say just a little bit, but I was crying before this class. I felt really hurt by someone, angry, threatened, and I won't say that I'm just in happy land right now, but I definitely do. And I'm just, this was so perfect that I probably couldn't have been, well, you know, I wouldn't have been able to be very present because
exactly.
Exactly. So thank you.
Exactly. So crucial, crucial practice. And today's call is going to be about, you know, how to become immediately influential. And again, Dottie, I'm going to mute your line. Immediately influential. And so it's about networking, but it's not just about networking. I mean, everywhere where we're meeting somebody, we apply to networking, but it's in every aspect of our businesses and our lives. We might be meeting a new JV partner. We might be on a connection call with somebody for the first time. We might be wherever it is that we're meeting somebody new. And walking in this way changes everything. Dottie's example is so perfect. Let's say she had to run to a networking event right after this. All that time will be wasted. I'm so not interested in wasting time. I am very particular about how I spend my time. So Dottie could have set everything up, or maybe she's going to go into a speaking engagement, or for all of us, right? Whatever it is. And sometimes maybe it's something months in the making. We've prepared our talk and so on. You walk in like that, nothing is going to move. This changes everything, changes the words that come out, changes the energy we bring, changes all of the interactions. It's the foundation. So really wonderful. Anything else wanting to be said about this? It's the first time we've introduced it in this series.
I would like to just ask a quick question. I have learned recently when you're really upset, and I don't get that upset that often, but that that crying, breathing. So as I'm not I'm still in my car, let's say, in going to a networking. So what I'm feeling here is just allow myself to cry. I feel like crying. I'm feeling very hurt. Mm-hmm. So just allow it, and slowly, I'm definitely better. But it takes a little time sometimes if it's been a big upset.
Yeah. And for those in the year long, you know that the acronym for the work that we do is allow. And Dottie, you used that word allow. And I'm so, of course you did, because how do we allow amazing things to come into our lives, not pulling them toward us, not having to work so hard, but how do we allow that? And And this practice does so many things beyond which we can't go into everything about it today, the practice of Shavasana, but my man is on my mind today. He just is. So, you know, I'm going to mention him. It would have been his birthday tomorrow. And so this whole season, it's, you know, he died in June and would have been his birthday in July and tomorrow. And so, you know, I saw Yvonne nodding about the crying, and Yvonne was with me, you know, within hours of the day he died, and didn't leave my side for, I don't know, it was a couple of weeks, Yvonne. It was like for, you know, it was a thank you, my friend. And one of the things afterwards, somebody said, you know, I'm mentioning about grief, but I want to, the reason this is about entrepreneurship, because it's about authenticity and it's about letting things be easy. And if it works over there, goodness, it's going to work when we have a launch or when we have a sales call or whatever it is. All right. So, I talked to a grief expert. She'd been working in the field of grief for 20 years. And she said, one of the things we don't do is we don't allow the grief to move through our body. And Yvonne told me afterwards, oh yeah, sometimes Michelle, your body was just, I didn't know, like after he died, your body was shaking and you're just crying. It's just like, but when we have that practice of Shavasana, there's a naturalness that happens. We get back to, not what's normal in our culture, maybe, but what's natural to us. That's just, that just happened. And I let it run through me. And sometimes we're laughing and sometimes we're crying. And so there's something so real. And when we, there's something so, when we're networking or different parts of our businesses, there's sometimes something so layered about it, so enacted, so performed, that there's just talking heads and nobody's really talking to anybody. And this practice of Shavasana is life-changing, is nothing less than life-changing, because it allows us to actually meet real people and show up as who we are, and not needing to hide anymore, not needing to lop off parts of us, like lopping off our arms and our legs in order to somehow be acceptable because we're supposed to do stuff. So it is a very profound, profound practice. Thanks, Georgia, I got your note. So, all right. Excuse me for a second. I just got to open my door here. It's warm out in Calgary today. It's warm in my office. I'm just getting a little air in so I can think better for you. All right. So I want to start out very briefly, but happily with Sherry, actually. And I want to, sometimes we forget to do this when it's upper level, but I want to welcome Sherry. Can we do this, Sherry? Now we're in the midst of it. So how are you going to say no? I want to welcome Sherry to year two of our work together. Will you help me welcome her? Like, ready? 1, 2, 3. Yay. Thank you. And Sherry, you know that that leaping energy is so, we all know that leaping energy is so huge. And when we leap, we're putting our stake in the ground. We're taking a chance. We're taking a chance on ourselves, not just a chance, but a knowingness that I can do this. I have this dream. I'm going forward. And so all of us want that to be able to tap into that leaping energy for ourselves, because that's what we want our clients to do too, our potential clients. Like, hey, there's something that we can do together, and here, let's leap in together. So Sherry, will you just give us a sentence or two or a little bit so we can tap into that energy that's in you? Because it's so very beautiful. It was so beautiful. I actually, let me see. I was just speaking at Salt Lake City eWomen yesterday, and I hope you don't mind. I didn't mention your name, but I was talking about you because it was such beautiful energy. Right? So talk to us. What made you decide to leap in? Tell us about it.
I think what's made me decide to leap in and continue the journey is that when I stop and I look at where I am, there is so much more I wish to accomplish. And I know it's very clear that I can't do it by myself. So it's really choosing where I go for support and the push. So. Mm.
Love it. Love it. Thank you for that. And something in our conversation that your words remind me of, do you remember what you were saying about that woman that you were somewhere in and around a year ago? What did you call her? Like, compared to, like, bless her, amazing woman that she was, but do you remember?
Oh, it was, No, I can't remember the exact word, but it was something like, you know, she was tentative. I can't remember the word I used.
It was a key word: tentative, tenuous, timid. It was something
tenuous.
Like
tenuous.
Tenuous. Yeah. And so different from the way you're showing up now. So like beautiful, like hardly recognizable in the distance you've come, and excited for the journey from here. And I just think it's always great when we can capture that. And I love that. Thanks for the thumbs up, Dottie. That, you know, leaping energy for all of us, whether we're leaping into something, whatever it is that we're leaping into, and that our potential clients are leaping into as well. Or and even just leaping energy in and around us. So our family members and loved ones, like, can we always, if we're on a journey, then we're leaping. So thank you, Sherry. That's really, really beautiful. Whew, all right. So announcements, story freedom. We now have a prettier page for you. Some of you have already leapt in, and thank you for your patience for those of you who were not here July 4th, because it was July 4th, our American friends, right? You'll catch it in the recording for if you're in the year long. And story freedom. So if you are here listening to my voice, it means that you have a bonus ticket to story freedom, or you're enrolled in story freedom. But we need to know you're coming. So we need your story freedom deposit, right? It's a $97 no-show deposit, because then we know who's in the room. We know how much space we have left. And also, I start thinking about you the moment you register, because I've taught that event numerous times, but every single time it's individual and unique, and it has to do with the people in the room. And we just got a new team member. I have to tell you this story. So some of you might know Remy used to be on Lisa Sasevich's team. She's an amazing, amazing woman. I had not seen her in 2 years, and invited her to be on the team for this event. And it was so beautiful having, I don't think she'd mind having that conversation, that I have this conversation with you. I hadn't spoken to her in 2 years. She immediately said yes. And she was in the room 2 years ago when we did Story Freedom. And she said, Michelle, I get so many offers, but I just remember the amazing people who are in your room. It was an immediate yes. So I know there's going to be, we already have so many amazing people coming. And Mary Kay, saw your registration. Thank you. Sergio, saw your registration. A number of you have already registered. If you have not yet registered, storyfreedom.com/deposit. All right, storyfreedom.com/deposit, where you can put in that $97 no-show. You get it back at the event. It just helps us count. That lets me know you really, truly, actually are coming. And then I can start thinking about you there, all right? And also,
can you repeat it, Michelle? Story Freedom.
Storyfreedom.com/deposit. So DEPOSIT.
Thank you.
And so make sure you use that link, because otherwise it's the $1,500 link, right? We've got a special early bird on right now, but this is just $97 and you get it back at the door. And so make sure you do that right away. And once you have your, once you've registered yourself for Story Freedom, then you can bring a friend. Only if you're coming, for those who are coming. And you've actually registered your deposit, you can bring a friend for $197. People have come to Story Freedom for multiple times that price, have said that they got their money's worth in the first 45 minutes. So if you know somebody who should be there, who could really benefit from 3 days, I have not done this event for 2 years, you can, there'll be a link, and Amy either has already set it up for you, or it's going to happen really soon. Once you've registered that deposit, I think you'll be given the link that you can send to your friend to register, right? It's $197 for the event, and another $197 if they want to join us for the lunches, which I highly recommend, right? So, but they can come, they can be in the room for $197. It's a crazy steal for your friends. It's my way of saying thank you to you. And if it's somebody you know who should be there, then I want them to be there.
Michelle, so, could you please give us the dates and those of us that are flying in from the U.S.?
Yes, it is September 10th to 12th.
It's Wednesday,
September 10th to the 12th. And you can find the details when you click on that storyfreedom.com/deposit. It will give you all the details about it.
And hotels,
then we'll send you a welcome letter. Wait, I'm going to mute you again, just feedback. Unmute if you want to ask another question, but we'll send you the welcome letter with suggestions for where to stay and all the logistics you need, etc. And so That's about story freedom. Let me serve you. It's 3 days deep dive. I love what, you know, Dottie said. It's like, oh, wow, we did, you know, 10 minutes together. And that has changed the landscape. I don't have to be prey to that negative emotion ever again, is what she said, right? And it cleared things in 10 minutes. What can we do in 3 days, right? When we do a deep dive together. So please register your ticket. And then, yeah, Dottie, go ahead. Was that a question?
I was just saying, I feel better. I was crying. I left a few minutes ago. I heard everything, but I just had to leave to cry, and I feel better. Thank you.
Yeah. Perfect. Thank you. You're so, so beautiful. All right. And then I've got another thing going on for you guys. I'm just always trying to think of ways to give, right? And so we decided to do, for the very first time ever, we've got a little contest going on. So there'll be details in your inbox. But there is that call. It's a story freedom call, July 23rd at 12:30 p.m. Mountain Time. That should already be on your calendar. You have to register for that call. So that is our very next call together. There's no practical applications call next week because I'm away, and also gives you some time to do some of the work that I'm going to be asking you to do. And then our next call together will be on the 23rd. And then we meet here again on the 25th. You're going to want to be on that call on the 23rd. Keep an eye on your inbox. Make sure you register, because I'm going to be speaking. And then our next call on the 25th is about speaking. And when you've seen what I just did, you will get so much more out of that call on the 25th. I wish I could say that I organized that, and I saw them together. I'm like, we're going to do some teaches. That's phenomenal. We've never, ever had that before. So make sure you're on there. And then the contest is, it's a little playful contest about bring your friends, because that's a call you can bring your friends to. So the person who brings the most number of people, we're going to have a prize for you. And you know, when I give out a prize, it's nothing to sneeze at. We'll let you know what that prize is later on. But if it's a prize, you know it's going to be good. And register for the call first. And you can register your friends through an affiliate link. So Amy and I are putting together the last of the details for that tomorrow for you. We will give you an affiliate link. And if that person, if I never see them again, I will serve them the best I can. But if they decide to go on and do further work, and if they leap in at the highest, any of the highest levels, if they leap in for longer work, if they leap in for year-long work with me at whether at an event or in a strategy session or whatever whatever way they come, but if they come and do that year-long work and they have registered in this way, starting out through this call, we're going to send you and you send them I'm stumbling over my words. We've never done this before. So if it's coming out a little like messed up, we've just never done this before. So if you send them to Story Freedom, it's for the friends you bring to Story Freedom. If you send them to Story Freedom, and then they decide to do further work, we're going to, like, further the high-level work, the year-long work, we'll send you I'm so excited. I'm like, tripping over my words. We're going to send you $1,000. All right? So, and if you were in the practical applications launch, you still have that too, right? But for those who are starting to play right now, we'll send you $1,000. So it's just my way of saying thank you. And we never have anybody leap in that I don't think I can really truly help, or I don't make an offer. So, and I've sent people away sometimes. There was a woman who was trying to come to one of my week-long retreats. I knew it wasn't a fit, and she was begging and pleading pretty well. I'm like, this is not going to serve you. I heard what you need is not going to serve you. And then she started getting angry with me. But I'm just like, I will only take people on a journey if I know that it's a match and I know it'll serve. So, call for Story Freedom. It's on the 23rd. Register. You'll have information in your inbox about Story Freedom. And also, if you want to learn about how to structure affiliate relationships, we only just started playing in this arena recently. We've done very, very little in this. So you can learn from all of what we do, all of our mistakes, some things we've set up in ways different from my teachers, because there's things I liked and things I didn't like. So you can watch and play and then model whatever you like and let go of whatever else that you didn't like. Did that make sense? I tripped over all my words on that. We've never done this before. Did you all hear that? Basically, there's going to be more details in your inbox. Okay, great. Thank you. All right.
Michelle.
Yeah. Michelle,
I have to be honest, I'm not clear on what you said about the JV thing.
Got it. Okay. So you can invite friends to the call. That's one way to introduce them to the work. It's a great thing to do because that starts the conversation with them, and they'll start to learn about this work, and you don't have to be so alone in knowing what this work is. It's like, so you don't have to say, wow, I was lying down and then something changed. It's like, can sound sort of weird to people, right? So it's a great place to bring people along. And then for those of you who are coming to Story Freedom, once you've registered your link, Amy's going to give you we just talked about this yesterday. We figured it out, took an hour yesterday to figure it out. So we're going to give you an affiliate link. And if those who come to Story Freedom with you end up enrolling in a year-long journey, we'll send you $1,000 if they've come through that affiliate link. All right. So we're going to give that to all of you. It's a gift for everybody here at Practical Applications. Okay. Good. Was that a little bit clearer? It just hopefully will be clear in the email. If it's not, ask me questions or ask my team questions, because we've not ever done this before. We've never, ever done this. It took us an hour yesterday to work it out. I was chatting with Amy from Salt Lake City because we wanted to make sure that it all made sense. So it should be clear in the email. If you have any questions, just let me know. Okay. All right. I want to leap in with our material for today. And let me see. Let's hear really briefly, less than like just a sentence, a couple of wins from a couple of you, one win from a couple of you, just to gather the energy outside of all the announcements and so on and so forth. So what's rolling for you? What do you love about your life and your company right now? Again, what we focus on expands. If you don't think you have a win, raise your hand anyway. I'll help you find it. What's rolling for you now? Who wants to share? Yvonne and then Cindy, thank you. Oh, Yvonne, Mary Kay, right through the middle part of my screen. Yvonne, Cindy, Mary Kay, because I saw you in that order. So Yvonne, go ahead.
I'm almost sold out my next Wisdom Circle, and they're all guests. So I'm very happy about that.
Mm-hmm. And so Wisdom Circles, that's in eWomen. For those of you who don't know, if they're all guests, that gives it the wonderful possibility for them to come and play for longer at eWomen. And how wonderful is that? And has it ever been all guests before, Yvonne?
No.
Or very often? Never before.
No.
An unprecedented win. How long have you been managing your eWomen chapter?
7.5 years.
Oh, so in 7.5 years, you have a 7.5 year win. Very first time, all guests showing up for your Wisdom Circle. Fantastic, Yvonne.
And I really wanted it that way. I wanted to have, you know, at least 90% guests. So
you designed it that way, and now it's happening. Gotta love that. Thank you. Cindy, you're up.
I have started building my online business, so that I can get rid of my physical office space and do everything online. And it's really moving along well and quickly. And I'm very happy with the direction it's going.
There are empowering stories, and I get to choose. I get to craft my life. I get to create it the way I want it. So I don't want a real office with walls that I meet people in. I don't have to. You're doing it, Cindy. I love that. Thank you. So good. I want to do this virtually. Done. Yeah. Mary Kay.
I don't think I have any. Sorry, rephrase. I don't have any more roadblocks to expanding my business to loving presence with animals instead of just horse people.
And did y'all hear that course correction right along the way? Beautifully put, Mary Kay. I've just gotten rid of those roadblocks. Now I'm working not just with the horses, I'm working with the animals, because that's who I choose. That's what I want to do. I'm creating it the way I want it. I love that. Thank you. Beautiful. All right. Practical applications. Get results with your words. Just a reminder where we were last time. So I suggested that you start reading that book, Influence. And how many of you either picked it up or started reading it or read any of it? Yeah, okay, so that's why I said it's right here in my notes, I promise. We'll talk about that next time, because I wanted to give you a little bit more time and space. And it's a nice jumping off point. It's quite a different approach to Influence, but it gives us a space to bounce off of. So Influence. And then also Story Freedom, returning to that. Some of you have read it multiple times. Did anybody reread it this week? Okay, because I wanted to give you more time on that one too. So those are a couple documents I'm going to suggest you take a look at, a couple of founding documents for us. And so take a look at them this over these next couple of weeks. We meet again in practical applications 2 weeks from now. And that will give us some things to play with. So the call from the 23rd, practical application or influence and anatomy will give us a trifecta of things to bounce off of for next time. All right. Today, networking, establishing immediate influence and authority. We've already seen the foundations of that in Dottie going like, oh my goodness, I'm not carrying this energy anymore. How cool is that? Because without that, we can't establish that authority. It's just not going to happen. Not in my books. I don't know how to make it happen, at least. Maybe somebody does, but I don't know how. Speaking, I talked about that already. I just want to tell you one more thing. So today is networking. Next time is speaking. And when we're going to the module on speaking next time, I'm super excited. This has never happened in practical applications before, but I've been speaking in so many different circumstances. Since yesterday, and in these couple of weeks, two very different eWomen chapters, a 5-minute promo Facebook talk, the call on the 23rd. I'll be speaking to a 7-minute talk in front of an audience of 100 or so, and so multiple different places where I'll be speaking, and they're all different. They're different genres. They require different things. But again, when you come to the call on the 23rd, I'll be able to tell you about what's going on there. And if you ask questions about it, you can go ahead and ask questions about those, how we vary it when it's that different lengths, different audiences and so on. So I'm busy doing it. I'm on the court and we'll be talking about it next time. Just want to let you know about that. That's never happened before. So I'm happy to unpack those different genres, different ways of speaking if you want to know. Just go ahead and ask questions. We've got some great questions on board today. And I think I want to start with the questions because I want to make sure we do a deep dive with the questions. We always will have plenty of space for the content for the day as well. We're always deep into the content even before I tell you what the content is because we're learning it. I don't want it to be head knowledge. I want it to be incorporated. I want it to be in your bones. So questions. Great questions on deck today. From Grace, one from Yvonne, one from Judy, a couple from Mary Kay. And I'm going to go in the order that they were posted, except for Yvonne's. Thank you for posting that, Yvonne, because Yvonne, if I don't get to that by the, you know, by half an hour from now, will you just remind me, raise your hand about that question? Thank you. All right. Grace asked, and a number of you were asking about this last time, how does one set up a series of modules, 5 to 7, for a virtual group? Great question. How many of you also are setting up courses and want to know how to do that? How do you use your words effectively? There was a lot of interest last time. All right, good. So here's the structure. I'm just going to give you a fish, Grace, for today. And then this is for all of you. And then if you have a follow-up question, go ahead and ask for next time, Grace. Does that make sense for you? Will that work for you, Grace? Okay, thank you. So the very first thing that I do is I want to reverse engineer it. What is it leading to? Where am I going? If I don't know where I'm going, I will have no idea what's supposed to be in that course. So, and the language I've learned from Lisa Sasevich, but Jeff Walker teaches this, Sandra Yancey teaches this, everyone has different language about it because this has to happen when we're entrepreneurs. What we do, that I learned that at Peak Potentials as well. What we do as entrepreneurs is we're solving problems for money, right? That's what an entrepreneur does. The definition of an entrepreneur, right? It's not a nonprofit. And if it's not solving problems, if you're not, I don't know what it is, but it's not an entrepreneur, right? So we solve a problem. If somebody has a problem, we give them a solution. Then they have another problem, we give them a solution. And it's Lisa who's coined that, you know, problem solution, PSPS, and I really like her languaging about it. So we need to reverse engineer. What's the final solution? Where do I want them to go eventually? So let me give you how I conceive of this in terms of practical applications, for instance. So with practical applications, get results with your words in business. There's a call that precedes it. And the call is 3 secrets to choosing words that make you more influential. So there's a problem that people come with. They want to be more influential. That's how I would articulate that problem. They want to be more influential. Well, come to the call. So the problem is you need to be more influential. The solution is we'll come to this call. Come to the call called Three Secrets to Choosing Words That Make You More Influential. Then there's a problem remaining. Well, you could choose words that make you, that'll make you more influential, but we need words all over the place. You need to use words and language in a variety of areas in your business. I can't in one call tell you what to do everywhere. So the solution is practical applications. Get results with your words in business. Well, you got to be speaking and you got to be networking. You got to be doing it all over the place. I can't tell you how to do it in just one call. Practical applications. Well, then there's a problem that's remaining. You're going to be, and it, practical applications hints at it, but it's by no means, we don't have time to deep dive in this. Dottie got a piece of it in just 5 minutes here. But the problem that remains is you'll be more influential through internal alignment. We saw it in Shavasana right at the beginning here, and accessing deeply more powerful stories. There's words and there's stories. And sometimes we talk a little bit about stories here, but we don't get a chance to, can't do everything in one series. So you need to be connected to empowering stories to have the success that you're looking for. That's a problem that's remaining after practical applications, right? Do my best to cover what I can, but we can't do all of it. Here's, we need words here and here and here and here, but what's the story that gets, the overarching story that gets involved in, you know what I'm saying? And what's the story for our company? How are we branding our company? All those places, what are the stories? We don't have time for all of that, nor the internal alignment. We do little bits of it. So then the solution, it's either come to Story Freedom, because we have 3 days to go deep dive for that, or it's come and play for a year long, where we can really deep dive in all the aspects of story, all the aspects of how the words and the story fit together, how we craft powerful stories and so on. Right? So how do I craft, for instance, this series? Well, I need to know that that's the structure. Did I know that the first time I taught practical applications? And I'm going to confess, no. It's always a work in progress. Do your best with it. But a lot of people will get caught there forever and just try to design it and play with it on paper. You can't do that. That's the biggest mistake entrepreneurs make, is trying to play with things on paper. You got to be on the court. All right. So number one, you got to reverse engineer. And I gave you an example of practical applications. Number two, once you've decided the best you can, what's the problems you're solving along the way? Then step two, so number one is reverse engineer. Number two is, what's the title? What's the promise? What's the thing that you're trying to solve? Right, so it's, I don't know if it's exactly in that order, right? Yes, it is. You have to know where you're going first. And then you have to know what the piece is that you're tackling, okay? So, and the title, for instance, in this course, I didn't always name things well. So my Mexico retreat used to be called, for that audience, it wasn't bad, but it was called Creative Waves, the Alchemy of Influence. Like, what is that? Or something like that. What does it even mean? Right. But it was designed for a very different audience. Practical applications get results with your words in business tells you what the promise is. You're going to get results with your words in business. It's going to be practical. It's going to tell you how to do it here and here and here. Right. So what's the promise? And once you're constructing what that promise is, well, why do you want to teach that anyway? You know, why do you want to teach that? What's their top of mind problem? Practical applications does that really well, because that's often a problem people have. I don't know what to say here or there or there or there. So it addresses that top of mind problem. It's not by any means all of what we can do together, but it addresses a top of mind problem. You can, in this title and promise, you can think about two things. Why do you want to teach that? And what are their needs and desires, right? Because you want it to have both aspects, you and them, right? So number three, and this I only learned in the last couple of years, how does it fit into your area? What is your area of expertise? So let me give you some predecessors to practical applications. I'm thrilled about practical applications. This is going to become our flagship course. I'm super excited about it because it's right in my zone of genius. But I had a couple predecessors. Some were around when I taught them. For instance, there was Build Your Event. There was Pruning the Deadwood. I taught different things before. So don't be afraid to experiment. Take your best shot and just get out there and do it. Right, just go on the court and do it. And that's going to tell you, when I'm going to tell you about networking too. Go out there and do it. So pruning the deadwood, what it did is it talked about one little piece about your words, but it didn't have the scope of practical applications. It was just a 3-call series. I didn't have time. It was a good course, but I wasn't satisfied with it. I wanted to teach more, right? So pruning the deadwood. Build your event. I ended up listening just to what people were wanting because everybody was calling me at that time. It's like, Michelle, you do events. I know you do them so well. I know that, you know, there's so much love in that room. There's so much heart and people leap in and like, how do you do that? And in Lisa's community, for instance, they've got like a whole structure for how to build events, but still in that community, people were always sending people to me, right? Even some of the trainers are sending people to me. So I'm like, wow, people are asking for this. I'm going to do that. And I ran that whole series, but then it's like, wait, that's not where I first want to have expertise. I'm not primarily an event person. I still did that. I created that course a couple of years ago. I'm very proud of that course. So don't worry about if you don't get it right the first time. I certainly didn't get it right. There isn't a right and a wrong. Take your best stab at it. What do you want to teach? What are people asking you for? And go there, all right? So number one, reverse engineer. Number two, the title and the promise at the top of mind problem. Number three, how does it fit into your area? I'm going in detail with this question because a lot of you were asking this question, all right? Number four, this is about structuring the content. Well, what are the most important things that they need to know? So I spent a long time in designing practical applications because you need words everywhere in your business. I could have had two classes, for instance, on branding alone, and we don't even have a module on branding. I could have done the whole series on how you work with your team. So we had to make some choices about what the calls would be about. And I just had to really think about what were people asking me about. And not only that, what do I believe that people need the most? Because sometimes what people are asking might not be what I think moves the needle the most for them. So I need to think about most. And here, there's a lot of people asking about this time around. It's the first time in practical applications people have been asking about structuring a course. Maybe this will enter into the next iteration of this course. I don't know. There were a lot of questions about it, right? So it's iterative and the course can grow. And I'm adding a little mini module here because so many of you were asking, right? So it's not a once and done. All right, so... yeah, what are the most important things they need to know? So in this, for instance, I know that you need to be able to network. If you can't network, you're not going to sell anything. If you can't meet somebody, so that has to be in there. I know you need to sell stuff. If you can't sell stuff, if you can't make an offer, you don't have a business. Speaking is a great way to meet people. And when you can write your talk, like we're going to learn next time too, it's so much like it structures your content. It helps you understand what it is you're doing. You can reach a wider audience and so on. So I thought, and then people are always asking about online, but you can't, people go and do Facebook ads and they don't know how to network yet. Right? You got to start close in, move to far away. So we want to learn how to do that as well. It's an area that people want and need. So, and then we needed a class at the end to kind of catch everything else because there's 100 other areas. Let me at least gesture toward them at the end of practical application. So that's how I decided what these modules are. And then of course I gave you a survey at the beginning and I'm reading those surveys and saying, what are people asking? And it doesn't mean that I'm only going to deliver that. Because again, people might be asking about how do I design my, I'm a very new entrepreneur and I want to design my website and do Facebook ads. Wrong questions to ask, right? It's not what's going to get you there the fastest, but I still need to address that at some point, right? So what are the most important things they need to know? Number four. Number five, how do I find out what are the, so if I'm going to combine what I know they need and what I believe they need and what they're asking for, those two pillars, how am I going to find, I can talk to myself about what I think they need, and then how to find out what they need. Interview your students. I'm doing it here. When you're asking questions, like I'm always learning, right? And good teachers are always learning because the material grows and is alive, right? Interview your students in strategy sessions. What are the problems that people are bringing to you? And when you're in sales conversations or strategy sessions or however you first meet people, right? Or when you're networking, what are they saying to you? And always I suggest that you start with high ticket. Don't do like the low end. It's like people start at the hardest end. And I love what Mary Kay, you said. It's like, Michelle, do I not have to do that anymore if I don't want to? Right? No, you don't have to. Right? And the high ticket, your best clients will give you the best ideas about what it is you should be teaching because they're engaged. They ask great questions. You guys are amazing, right? So they will tell you, start with high ticket and they will tell you what's most important. So those are the five, that's a five-step answer to your question. Grace, does that give you a few things to play with? Yes, awesome. I want to hear, let me see, quickly from you, Grace, just in a sentence, what's the most important thing that you heard for constructing your course? Just in a sentence, and I know there's hopefully a lot of content for you there. It's like I could teach a whole, in fact, in a way, I did teach a whole seven-week series. Build Your Event is 7 weeks on this, and that's my 10-minute answer. Grace, most important thing that you heard? What's your aha?
What are their problems this is solving, and just begin.
Yes, thank you. Those are crucial.
It does not have to be perfect, but always write it down.
Yes, exactly. Cindy's asking, what was number five? Well, how do I even find out what they want? And then I gave you a list of places to find out what they want. Let's hear from one other person. What did you gain? Because never does this apply, but how does this apply to me? This applies to every single person in this room. What did you learn? What was most important to you? Mary Kay, real quick.
The sequence of problems, so they build on one another. It's not just one problem, but you lead them in as far. So you give them other opportunities.
Yes, exactly. So I did a deep dive. There was a lot of questions in and around this. And also it's going to help me answer the other questions on the table today because it's the same answer, essentially. So, and I know that networking, we're going to do speaking next time, but we're going to do part of the networking next time too. I always make sure there's time and space so we can get to everything that you need to know. But this was a really, really great question. And a lot of people were asking. So I kind of added a mini module here for you. All right. So next question was from Judy. What's your recommendation for the content and wording? So Judy wants to have flags that she puts on the wall when she teaches introductory workshops and 7-day retreats. So she's got a flag, how to restore ease, and a flag, the body brain freedom steps. So I wanted to answer Grace's question in detail because I have the same answer for Judy. Very similar answer. The first thing I would say, well, I've got these, you know, these words, they look good. There's nothing wrong with the words that you already have. You could go with what you've got, Judy. But the thing that I would be asking is about reverse step number one that I answered for Grace. What is the reverse engineering for this? And already it's a kind of red flag when you say it's for your introductory workshops and your 7-day retreats, because those are very different genres. Those are very different speaking situations, whether you're speaking it or you're hanging it on the wall. And so where are you trying to, what are you leading them? So these are questions I'd be asking myself, Judy, like, where am I? What's the next step that I want them to take? Where are they going next? And what do these wall hangings do? They could just be training documents, but I wouldn't see it like that. To me, they're also, when they're the most effective, they are, I don't want to say sales documents. I don't mean it like salesy, but the best help that we can give somebody is helping them take the next step. Do you understand what I'm saying? I can teach only so much in the 5-minute talk that I was just on Facebook Live before this call. I'll do my best to serve those people, but if they come to the 20-minute eWomen talk, I can help them more. Then if they come from there to Reading Anatomy, I can help them more. If they come to Strategy Session, I can help them even more, and so on. So our best service is to help them take further steps, assuming they have pain in our area. If they don't have pain in our area, we send them to somebody else. So those wall flags, if they can help those people understand the gap, especially for the introductory workshop, then that's what I would want to do with those anyway. So the very first thing I would be asking is like, what's the function of those wall flags? And if it's just to cover content, like here's a summary of the content, that's a very simple task. The way we used to do it at Peak Potentials is they would just write on a board and they would tape it to the walls and they were made new each time and they would put them up. Like it doesn't require a complex solution. So, Judy, are you hearing the piece that I'm saying about sales and reverse engineering it?
Absolutely.
And yeah.
That is not the ease. The one on ease was an inside how-to, but the other one was what my attempt at doing exactly that, showing them the steps and how they're only going to be basically tapping into maybe a little bit of step one. So could you help me with some verbiage that makes it more compelling that they're not getting?
Right. Okay. So then I would not understand the whole purpose of the flag itself. Like, let me see, 5 steps. Because then it's almost like, so I would want to know more about why you want to hang that flag, because it almost seems like when you're hanging it there for them to look at the whole time, it almost seems too salesy if you're just writing out those, here's the things that you don't know, by the way, and they're on the wall. But if it's just repeating the content that you've already said, it doesn't. So I would meditate, just like I wanted Grace to do with her course. I would be meditating on the function itself of the flag.
The function is to be a sales piece in the room, demonstrating how they are getting, you know, a deep dish on step one. They're getting an exploration to, you know, find some ease. Okay. That lesson, whether it's a 1 day or a 3 hour.
Okay. All right. So, so that's one thing too, that I would like, the more that I know about the question, and when you guys post questions, as you add more detail, because I wouldn't know that, there's no way to know what's the, I would need to know the content of that. Right. So if you're only teaching step one, helpful. Okay. But to me, Judy, what I would go back to, before you can craft those words, I would go back to, because it seems to me, if I'm mistaken, and all of us have this, right? We end up not knowing what that document's for, or sometimes creating false closure, or having things bleed. Like, remember you heard my problem solution, you wanted them to be really, really clean. Right. So this is a good example of it. For instance, your step one and your step two, Judy, if step one is reactivate learning to leverage your self-healing power, and step two is restore ease of movement to increase sensitivity and body IQ. Well, when you work with people in a workshop, aren't you doing some of step two as well?
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem. So it's not clean. All right. So rather than working with the words on the page and making the words in step one, step two, step three better, I would go back to I think if you hang this, you're going to end up with false closure. They're going to think, oh, we did a little bit of everything of that. Thanks, Judy. And they're going to walk away. Right? She has steps like reactivate learning to leverage your self-healing power, restore ease of movement to increase sensitivity and body IQ, reset whole body mobility to reverse pain. Wow, we've done a little bit of all of that, Judy. That's great. That's what I think is going to happen when you hang this up. So I would go back to, before creating this and spending money on it, I would go back to the drawing board and say, what's the very specific thing that I have given them? And what's the exact problem that remains? And then you might end up hanging up less. Because if they have it sitting there as well, and they're looking at it the whole time, sometimes just when they're looking at it, they'll think they've got it already. They think they'll assimilate it. I wouldn't have them looking at it the whole time. They'll think they already know it. There's something much better about, it's sort of faster. Like, here's the thing we've done deeply. I would probably, maybe I'd post that and not in steps, right? Just like, remember this one slogan, just a quick slogan, not a list, right? One quick slogan, like, and this might not be it, more work is required, right? But I can heal myself. I'm like, I might just put that up. I can heal myself when I learn how, right? And then I would actually speak that to them later on. Well, in order to do that, we've got to do this and that and that and that we haven't done yet. So Judy, hopefully that gives you, it's the same kind of answer to Grace's. And goodness, these questions are so great. Thank you for these wonderful questions. We're going to do networking next time, mostly, all right? I'm going to give you a few keys to it, and we're going to do it next time. Don't worry, there's always plenty of time and space, but these were such great questions. We added an extra module about organizing content today because these questions are related. Judy, does that give you something to go on? I would actually just do it differently. I wouldn't have this hanging. You may not like that answer, but you know me, I'm always truthful, all right?
What would you have hanging?
It might be something very simple, just a simple slogan that they can, and it's a memorable phrase that they can recall. So I took this home from this workshop. I'm just taking it from reactivate learning to leverage your self-healing power. I'm taking step one and making it more slogan-ish. Like, I can heal myself when I know how. Because you see the when I know how also goes like, oh my God, I don't know how. And there's so much more of a gap there.
Do you think that until you know what you do, you can't change it? Would that work?
I would say that would require another posting of a question. Let's ask this audience without knowing too much about it. So what I said was, I took it from step one. I can heal myself when I know how. That's number one. And Judy, yours was what?
Until you know what you do, you can't do otherwise, or you can't change it.
Okay. Number one, I can heal myself when I know how. I want you to vote. If you saw that, which one would inspire you? Which one feels better? Which one feels like you have learned something and you want to learn more? I can heal myself when I know how. Who wants number one? Okay. And yours, say it again, Judy.
Until you know what you do, you can't change it.
Who wants number two?
Yeah, so you're putting in the positive, I think, what I'm saying.
So saying, Judy, is not specific enough, I think. Sorry.
Exactly. Exactly. If people don't know what it means, it doesn't do anything, right? So what I would do is go away, get on some connection calls with people, take this further, and then repost to the next question. So I would actually, instead of fiddling with the words in this list, I would change it at the root, which is why I had both Judy and Grace starting at the root. And it's the same. So thanks for these questions. And Mary Kay, it's the very same answer again. And Yvonne, I haven't forgotten. It's just like more space on this. It took me a little more time to say these things than I realized, because it's just a really, really, who's gaining something from this? Who is this helpful to? I just want to check and see that we're on point. Okay, good. Thank you. All right. And Grace is asking, how does curriculum get developed? You're seeing it getting developed on the spot. Right? You don't have to have it written in stone, and make sure you leave space. Usually we put too much in our courses. We always do when we start. You got to leave space, because stuff like, you got to leave space for the magic to happen. You're witnessing it right here. Everyone put up their hand. This is useful. All right. So Mary Kay's questions are a different variation of the same thing. When you talked about the ideal client, you said, decide who to reach first. How do you decide this? Would it help to think about this before you've identified your ideal client? Well, I'm going to go to question two first. If I want to offer new programs, so the question one's about ideal client, which one should I choose? Question two is about the program. If I want to offer new programs and not so much the ones I currently have, what's the best next step? To identify the new audience, to talk to them, to create content, revise old programs for the new audience, revise the old programs with new direction for the same audience as before, or what? Great question. And because it's like, oh, what do I do? First thing I would do is Shavasana, clear the mind. And Mary Kay, I know you know that deeply, and do that work, that inner work. And then I would simply ask a cutting through kind of question. It's energetically related to my earlier answers. What lights you up, Mary Kay? Because I'm going to say any of these could work. Any of these could work. Like, what lights you up? And here, similar to what I was answering to Grace, what am I trying to accomplish with these new programs, and reverse engineer it, and then reference Grace's, the answer to Grace's question. So first, what lights you up? Are you excited about creating new content? Are you excited about, like, what are you most excited about? Just answer without thinking.
Right now?
Yeah, right now.
Other animals.
Other animals. Ah, okay.
People and other animals.
Got it. All right. So, so that the other animals. That's what. So, which of those is that then for you, Mary Kay? Because that sounds. What do you think that is then? What's your answer? I think you can answer it.
But I don't. That doesn't fit. Right. There's something else that fit that lights me up more.
Oh, what is it?
It's the actual practices of loving presence that go way down, take it down into tiny pieces. Start.
You're lit up by your own content. Correct? Mm-hmm. Did y'all hear that? Yvonne is just smiling like I would connect with it, but she heard it. I saw her, others may have, but I saw it lighting up on Yvonne's face. You are lit up by your own content and how it's developing. I'm excited by this call because I haven't taught this before. I'll probably write this in. It'll go in next time, right? So I'm lit up by Grace and others that asked this question. And so you're lit up by your own content. So I would start there. Any one of these could work. What lights you up? Then start writing the new content. And as you're doing that, remember Grace's, the first point to Grace's question, where is it that you want them to go at the end? I want to write this new content because you want something for them. What's the thing that you want for them out of this new content? And then that is what will guide how you're going to revise these programs. Does that bring some clarity, Mary Kay?
It's a start. It's a good start.
Yeah, good, good. And all we need is a start. We just need to see that first step. And then, you know, Mary Kay knows to dive into the content now and where she's going to take them and then see where it goes from there and then ask the follow-up question, right? And then, how do you decide who to reach first? I'm going to ask you the same question. Who do you love? Like, who do you really want to, who do you really, got a question from Dottie. It's going to be in your inbox, okay, Dottie, and also when you register that $97 no-show, okay? Dottie was asking, how do I bring a friend? And I just got distracted over here for a minute. So it's going to be in your inbox, and once you register, you'll know how. So Mary Kay, what lights you up about your, about, you know, who lights you up? And here we actually have to choose. And we're not playing favorites. It's not like that. We're not saying I like you and I don't like you. But there's something that, you know, you lights you up. Let me give you an example. I used to work with writers. I haven't stopped working with writers, but, you know, they can be entrepreneurs who are writers or entrepreneurs who are veterinarians, entrepreneurs who work with horses, entrepreneurs, right? So it's like, writers are like a subset of who I work with now, I guess you could say. If they happen to be writers and that's the way they do their entrepreneurship, that's fine with me. But what happened was, as I was working with writers, somebody came in who wanted to do the work, and then somebody else came in and they didn't want to write at all. And I really, like, something lit me up about working with these two people early on. I'm like, why did they even come here? I don't know why they came, but I'm really enjoying working with them. I love everybody, but something about what they're asking is lighting me up. So then I just looked at those real people and what was the quality of it, of that. And it wasn't that I didn't want to work with the writers, but I don't want to work with the writers who just want to write a Hollywood movie and have their lights in name in lights or whatever. I wanted to work with people who are in service, who really want to make a difference on this planet. And that's what was happening with those people. So look at the people in front of you, what lights you up? And yes, you choose. It's okay to choose your company. Mary Kay, does that give you at least a start for that question so that you can write a follow-up question next time?
I think so. It's sort of scary what lights me up, what you were talking, because it's what lights me up is professionals who teach. That's who I want to give this to.
So professionals working with animals or horses who teach?
No, they don't have to work with animals. Anyone, professionals who teach others.
Ah, okay. Interesting. Okay. So let me give you one more piece then, because one of the things we don't want to be doing is jumping from, you know, ideal client to ideal client to ideal client. And you've got so much established with horses and with animals. So I'm not about ditching things too quickly, right? So just completely leaping over there. I wouldn't necessarily advise that, but there's some quality of those people. And for me, it doesn't have to be that way. For me, it was a gradual shift. Like, what is the quality that you love in teachers. Well, they're interested in learning. They want to pass on what they know. And I would start picking up some of those qualities in something of what you're already doing, because some people are serial entrepreneurs. It's like, I'm doing that and then that and then that and then that and then that. And I wouldn't want to guide you toward that. But I would pick up, start investigating who they are and why that lights you up. And I would still stay with where you're gaining a lot of success. Maybe 5 years from now, you're only going to be working with those people, or maybe you will experience a sudden shift. I don't know. But meanwhile, you can still stay with where you're getting a lot of success, but start bringing in more and more of what you love. If you're hearing why I'm saying that, like, don't just like throw the baby out with the bathwater, but still we get to do what we love. If you heard that, and why I said that and why that matters, like, raise your hand. Did you get that? Did y'all get that? Yeah. Okay, good. And Mary Kay, not as much yet. So lean in with other people who heard that and ask a follow-up question, Mary Kay, okay? And Dottie's writing, Mary Kay, I stayed in real estate 30 years. Big mistake. I'm now going after what I love. Yeah, so to do what you love. Don't let me be the dream stealer too. If that's what you really, really want and you want to leap over there, talk to me about it. We make it happen. I'm not saying that you can't do that also. Okay, Mary Kay? That might sound like you said both, Michelle, but there isn't like a quick answer to that one. It's not, it takes meditation. Helpful as a start, Mary Kay?
I think so, yes.
Okay.
Take it. Use it and see what happens.
Yeah, yeah. That's the most important thing that you learned. Let's hear from one other person. What did you learn in this for you, for your company, about your ideal client, about how to, because these are really important questions. I took time over them because our companies also are evolving. I have this program, so now do I just ditch it? Do I start over? What do I do? How do I start revising content? So what did you learn for your company right here, right now? Because I want you to gain that practice of adapting it to your company. What'd you learn for you? Yeah, Grace, thank you.
When you think about who lights you up, and Mary Kay said she's lit up by anybody who teaches others, right? Anyone who teaches.
Oh, Grace, and you froze. Did you all see Grace?
Very descriptive, and it's very unique. I'm frozen.
You were. So very descriptive. You heard the heart in Mary Kay when she was saying that, right? Is that what I'm hearing from you?
Yes. Yes.
And so how does that apply to your company, Grace?
Just last week, I wrote about, I did one of the exercises and it came out to be who my ideal client was someone who was, you know, fun, willing to learn, engaged, just wanted to develop themselves to the next level.
Yes. Yeah, so
for me, I'm it's causing me also to think what Mary Kay, what you said, I'm shifting to where have I had the most fun? And it's really been with leaders of mid-sized organizations. So that's like a new piece for me, a smaller company, not the Fortune 500.
Ah, got it. Beautiful. So as you're listening to Mary Kay, you're hearing something else about your own ideal client. We're going to get there in a few weeks, deeper dive into ideal client. And also that our ideal client has many characteristics. Thank you for mentioning that, right? So know your ideal client like J.K. Rowling knows Harry Potter, not like the surfacey version of marketing that we sometimes hear out there, right? Yeah, really good. And Dottie, in just about one sentence, what's your takeaway from what you heard from Mary Kay? Oh, you're muted. I thought you had, did you have your hand up?
Yes, I did. I'm sorry. Everything's been great. I mean, everything's. I'm going to call and ask you how much the one-year program is. I probably would say that, I took the problem solution with Lisa Sasevich. I didn't get it, but I got it with you today, and I thank you.
You are so very welcome. Yes. Thank you. She teaches it. Others teach it. You can go find it in Jeff Walker. You can find other entrepreneurs who are making a difference. Know that we solve problems and then we solve another problem. But I'm so glad that you heard it here.
One more thing is that I'm a winger. I spent 30 years in sales, did extremely well money-wise, and I was a winger. So it's a whole new thing for me to have a place, and it sounds so exciting and professional. I want to be a professional. It seems so professional to, this is where I'm going, and this is how I'm going to get there and follow it. I'm excited about that.
Thank you, Dottie. Thank you. Love that. I'm going to meet you again. So this is at the heart of an Avenue of Empowering story. This is why I want you to read that again and really get that. Stories are everywhere. They're empowering, disempowering stories, and you can choose. And that is the choosing of my own story. It's foundational. And thank you, Dottie. Love all that. So good. All right. We have like 8 minutes left officially. I'm pretty sure we're going to go over today. I want to teach you a few pieces in and around networking. And don't worry, we will get to all the pieces. We always, always do. Yvonne, can you repost that for next time, please? Thank you. All right. Which piece do I want to teach you first?
Michelle, could I just ask you real quickly? You just gave me some advice of that's why I want you to do something, but I didn't hear
what. Read Anatomy of an Empowering Story.
What is it?
Read Anatomy of an Empowering Story again. And you can find it, if you guys don't have it at hand, you can find it at anatomyofanempoweringstory.com, or you can find it on my website. Okay? All right. I want to give you, actually, I asked you to repost it for next week. Still do, Yvonne, because we're going to come back to it. And it's where we ended last week's call, our first call. And I want it to really, really land. So I'm going to tell the story again. How to establish immediate influence and authority. It's not about the stars and stripes after our name. It's not about having exactly the right elevator pitch. It's not about any of those things that we often think it is. It's not about how much money we have. It's not about any of those things. So what is the most important aspect of establishing authority? Here is what I will assert to you today. It is connection. Connection is what establishes immediate influence and authority. And I want you to recall that acronym, like, why did Dana come when I wanted her to see something? That very simple story with very profound results for all aspects of our business. So remember that acronym, REAL, relationship, empathy, then we got to add word skill, and then we got to love the genre. Each speaking situation is different, right? So we have to understand, like, a 5-minute talk is different from a 1-hour talk is different from networking and so on. So we have to learn to apply our words in those different areas, right? So connection establishes authority, and it's somewhere between that relationship and empathy. I am deeply connected with my daughter. She will do things that she won't do for anybody else, for me, because we are deeply connected. And when we are connected to people, we become so influential that we have to be, that's why I only work with the dream enablers and people who are really wanting to make a difference on this planet, because we could become manipulative or power over because it's so persuasive. Do you understand what I'm saying? We become so persuasive, we have to be pull back and make sure we don't abuse our power. And not let it be power over, all right? So connection establishes authority. Connection establishes authority. So I mentioned briefly, and I want to tell that story in full. If you've heard this story before, hear it newly, hear you never step into the same river twice. I think it's so illustrative, just like the story about Dana and why she you know, got up off of her chair, went to the other room. It's the same thing that had people yesterday when I was speaking for eWomen. People could get anatomy. People could book a strategy session with me, and they were actually fighting in the room. Like, it's the very same skill, right? They're going like, you can't give that piece of paper there. Like, because when we haven't had a chance, and they're like telling me where they've got to put the piece of paper because, you know, they wanted to book strategy sessions. It's the same thing. It had Dana getting up, you know, and we'll talk about that when we talk about speaking next time, having people believe us and want to engage with us when we're networking, when we're speaking, and so on. It's creating connection. It's creating connection. It's creating connection. Did I say that yet? It's creating connection. So the example that I gave, and again, I will probably start here next time. I want to give you at least one piece of it. And then we're going to put some, I've had Amy post some handouts. Hopefully we'll have them up for you before a couple weeks from now. If not, I'll go through them with you next time. Some of the keys to networking and the handouts, if they're there beforehand and you read them over, they're going to look utterly simple, but there's a profoundness to them. Just like that acronym REAL, it moves everything. So don't underestimate them just because they look simple or obvious. They're most people don't do these things that I'm going to be sharing with you. All right. So the example I want to give you, it's a woman from LA. And I was actually, it wasn't even my own stuff. It was, she had the opportunity to leap in with somebody else. And she was scared, and she was a fairly new entrepreneur. And I had just met her, and I didn't even have very long with her because I had to be somewhere else. But I was trying to hold space for her and help her the best I could. And I could tell she was just pulling back, pulling back, pulling back. And even if there was something that was going to be right for her, she could not have heard it because she was in a position akin to where Dottie was beforehand, right? In this case, it wasn't anger. It was pulling back. It was fear. It was like all this stuff. How could she listen to her highest self? Impossible. And connection allows people to engage at their highest level. It allows people to be more of themselves. We're always performing all over the place. And it's not about that. It's like these talking heads. And so I knew that there was all that moving inside her. And so it wasn't this script or that script, this word or that word. It was about creating connection. And so that's going to be your home play for this week. Go out and see how you can create connection with people quickly and then come report back. It's going to be important on stage. It's going to be important with networking. And we'll tie those two together next time, right? So I didn't know much about her, except I knew she was from LA. You don't need to even know very much about somebody and you can create connection. So the story that I ended up telling him, like, you're from LA? So I started telling a story. I said, oh, now I have friends in LA. And I remember you guys in LA, because I know very little about her, but I know she's from LA. And this is my impression of people in LA, and it made her laugh. So you guys from LA, you are so, like, you've got to be so patient. And you are so tenacious. Sherry, is this resonating with you, Sherry, right? You know? Because like traffic is crazy. I don't know how you do it. Because a friend, I told her this story. So, my precious words weren't about the thing that she could leap into or not. I started with talking about LA and nothing to do with the thing that she did leap into. And I would not have offered if I didn't think it was something that would really, really serve her. So I'm talking about LA and I say, you're so brave. I had a friend who, a couple of friends came to see me and, they drove 2 hours to come and see me at the hotel. Now I was also establishing, hey, hopefully I'm a good person. They drove 2 hours to come and see me, right? That's like a kind of subplot there, right? But they drove 2 hours to come and see me in LA. And then when they left later on that night, it took them 20 minutes to drive back. You guys are, and she just was laughing and all of a sudden we're connected because I know something about where she's from. And then it came through contrast. I said, I don't know how you guys do it. I'm from the prairies. And one day, I don't know, it's like, it's so not like LA around where I live. So it was connection through opposite. Can you play with this week? How can you create connection with somebody? And as quickly as you can, what can you know about them? And then create connection. Don't think about selling. Can you create connection at the grocery store? Can you make somebody laugh? Can you create connection with somebody you haven't met before? Can you create connection with somebody who's completely... I learned it in my family. My aunts and uncles, there's nobody who has a PhD in anything. They all do very different things than me. My uncle rancher, who's like Alberta beef. How do you connect? How do you connect? Right. So I said, where I'm from, I remember once I was on a road trip with some friends and we were driving back from Saskatchewan and it was like, there's like hours and hours of nobody. And she's laughing because it's like really fun. You know, it's funny. It's so different from her place, right? Hours and hours of nobody. But then one day we're driving, there's nobody. And there's just a guy standing there with a stop sign and there's nothing around and we can't even see any construction. We sat there forever until he decided to turn it. And then it says go. And then we went and there's like no construction. There's no cars. There's nobody else around. Like that's where I come from. So you guys in LA, you're just brave. And she's, by the time I told that story, and it was about her, it wasn't about me, right? And it was just a simple, silly little story. And I didn't go on and on. This was a more elaborate version than I told her. It was very brief. But by that time, we're laughing together about traffic. And she knows that I respect something in her because she's from LA and I know something about who she is, even if I don't know anything. And then I said, so like you were interested, like, what, so tell me a bit about your company. And all of a sudden she's telling me things about her company and her dreams and what matters to her. And when I know what matters to her, then I knew there was something that she could do that would really make a difference. And already there was something of trust established. There was something, and it had nothing to do with the thing itself. There was something of trust. There was something of relationship. And again, it's so powerful. You have to not abuse it. Like, again, I only work with people who have deep integrity. It's about establishing connection very quickly so she becomes like Dana with me very quickly. And then I've placed myself in position of trusted advisor. And then it's an easy conversation, right? So networking, sales, speaking from stage is always, there's that similarity. Each of those genres is different. But when you can practice it first when you're meeting someone. So your your home play is to go, again, I'm going to repeat that, to go and see how you can establish connection quickly. It might be about what somebody is wearing. It might be where they're from. And I realize that I do this just naturally because I'm interested in people and connectedness. It's one of my core values. I love people. I think they're amazing. And we just have points in common because we're human. But human isn't enough. That's too umbrella. Can you find something specific? You love shoes. Great. Talk about shoes. You love the country. I was in that 5 minutes, that 5 minute interview about I'm going to speak in Omaha. And I'm like, I just found out some things about Omaha that I didn't know. I don't know anything about you guys. I don't know any, like it was about contrast again. But I found out that it's really cold there and that there's, it is farming country. Well, my parents are both, they both come from the farm and I'm from Canada. I think I'm going to like it there. I like, it had nothing to do with what I'm talking about, but I slipped in that sentence. And then I said, I don't want you guys to think that it's only about cold. And I know that, right? I'm just joking around. And that when I only have 5 minutes to talk about the topic at hand, what will connect you to the, even if I didn't know anything about them, except they're from Omaha. Right? So I went and learned a couple things and I'm playful and I'm joking. So that's your home play for this week. Go and create connection and see how quickly you can create it. What do you have in common with that person? Or even what do you have in contrast? And let it be about them. And then we'll have a great, already, if you just did that about networking, everything will have changed. Start there. Don't start with that blah elevator pitch. It's like, who cares? Right? And then we'll take it from there next time. I know we got to wrap up. We're already at 5 after the hour. Let me see. So just a reminder that the next time we meet will be on the Tuesday call that you have to register for. That's when you can bring your friends too. And just a playful contest in and around that. And there'll be information in your inbox about how to do that. And that's a great thing. If you're thinking about bringing people to Story Freedom, it's my way of, I don't spend money on Facebook ads and that, I mean, very, I've done so little of that. I'd rather spend that money with you, right? So instead of all that over there, who do you know? And I'd rather have it go to you so you can build your business further. Like let that be some seed money for you to do your good work in the world. So it's a great first step is to bring them to the call. And also so that they have some idea of what it is you're doing over here on this practical applications planet where we learn to really love our words in a whole different way. All right. So again, that's storyfreedom.com/deposit to get your deposit in. Let's hear one aha and one inspired action from everybody. And then we'll see you in 2 weeks minus 2 days. And then in 2 weeks, we'll be talking about both networking and speaking on that next call. Remember to post your questions, please. The more you post your questions, the more I can dive in with what matters to you. So Dottie, you're up first. And it's like one sentence. See if you can contain it to one sentence. Here's my aha. Here's what I'm doing. It's a check-offable action so I can bring it out into the world. One aha, one inspired action. One sentence only. Dottie, you're up. And don't forget to unmute.
My one sentence is that I learned how to be in connection. And I put it together myself. It's being even with people instead of thinking I'm a know-it-all.
this one aha has the power to change your entire company, Dottie.
Yes.
Fantastic.
It does.
Your inspired action.
My inspired action is to be quiet and not a compulsive fixer and just listen to people. Practice being listener, which is totally new for me. I think my value comes from contributing. Mm. As you can see that I wrote all these notes.
One of the things we'll do, networking personalities to emulate, networking personalities to avoid next time around. And one of them is Ms. Know-It-All, right? We all have done it sometimes. And then there's a whole bunch of others, and then networking personalities to emulate. And next time I'll show you as well, how does this connect with being real in that way that that acronym with Dana. So I'll show you how those work together next time, right? To actually create very powerful networking without having to have that elevator pitch blah. We can do that too, but that's so just a tiny, tiny bit of what happens when we're networking. Dottie, thank you. Beautiful. Judy, you're up next. And don't forget to unmute.
Yeah. I just love how you reinforced talking about the steps, and I don't know how to quote fix it, but you know, that's my inspired action, is to just be in it and see if I can differentiate.
Really great, Judy. Yes, this is a super step. And instead, that's often what people end up doing, is they fiddle with the words. They think it's only about the word skill, but that's not the point. And there's something more foundational that's going to get you way better results, and you heard it. And then you can ask the next question, the next iteration next time to build. And that's how our companies grow. It's like one drop in the bucket, another drop in the bucket, another drop in the bucket, and all of a sudden we have a different company. Fantastic. What's your inspired action?
When we get off, I'm going to just spend more time with this.
Yeah, really great. Really good. Thank you. Grace, you're up.
Okay. On the connection, just focus on them and learn about them. Create that connection first. Everything else will just flow. So be focused on them. And my action is, I'm going to go back and write notes to what I appreciate about them.
Oh.
It will, for me, reinforce who those ideal clients are, who are the clients I've had most fun working with.
I love that. And it's all about really listening to and seeing that person, and it all flows from there. Beautiful, Grace. Thank you. Mary Kay.
Oh, my aha is who lights me up, the teachers, people who teach. So that's a big, that's an exciting aha.
It's huge, Mary Kay. And it's like, I know that you're a meditator and that you'll take some time in and over that. And you're on that next, you're at the cusp of that next quantum leap in your business. I can just feel it. Really, really beautiful. Yes. What's your inspired action?
My inspired action is to focus on some self-care with some issues in travel that have just come up.
Yeah, really good. Really good. And Shavasana is a beautiful self. One of its benefits too is it is a practice of self-care. And without that, again, how do we actually listen to another person? How do we move anything? Super important. Yes, thank you. Sherry, you're up.
So I think my aha was all around the very first question and how you do a course. And I've done my course in several launches, thinking the launches were failure. And what I really got out of them was it was an exercise in getting the information of what my listeners needed.
Oh, beautiful. Now that's an empowering story, and that is life and company changing, because people end up stopping and you didn't. You know where you are in the story. Really, really great. Yes. And your inspired action.
Well, I think I'm going to spend a little time reverse engineering more.
Yes, it's huge. Otherwise, how can we help them get to where we can help them and where like if we haven't figured out where that is? Love it. Yes, thank you. Yvonne, you're up.
All we need is just a start. Knowing our first step, no matter what it is about.
Thank you for hearing that. It's where most entrepreneurs get stuck, I would say, because they don't take that first step because it's scary. And we want to get it right the first time. Well, I don't know how to get it right the first time, whatever that right is. If I need to get it right the first time, none of you would be here because I wouldn't have done anything because I don't know how to do it right. You just do stuff and you trust and you figure it out and do your best that time. And then the next time you add on to that. And that's the excitement of the journey, right? Yvonne, your inspired action.
Is actually applying a piece of creating connection during my wisdom circle next Wednesday.
Oh, how perfect is that? You have all those new guests and talk about letting them feel seen and feel heard. And from that place, other conversations are possible. Without that, no other real conversation is possible. Could be picture perfect. They will never leap to the next step and we'll never know. We never know why, because everything was picture perfect. Mm-hmm. It starts there. Really awesome. We got to the heart of networking today. We'll get to some of the nuts and bolts pieces next time, as well as speaking. It's going to be a real exciting call. Please make sure you're on the call on Tuesday because we'll be able to move faster and more deeply when you do so. Please remember to post your questions for next time. These were fabulous questions today. This really helps me to help you. And remember that we've got that contest going on. I haven't told you what the prize is yet, but when you bring your friends, we'll have that in your inbox. There's an opportunity to win at all kinds of levels. So super fun. And it'll give you a chance to model whatever you liked about this and let go of whatever you don't. So it's a really great chance to play. Have a great couple weeks, everyone. I will see you in 2 weeks, less a day. Take that time to play in networking, creating connections, asking questions and reading those pieces and attending the call next time. So we'll have a lot behind us when we next meet to take this to the next level, right? Thanks, everybody. It's so great to see you. I'm going to miss you next week, but I'm going to be doing some great stuff. I'm going to bring it all to you as well. Bye-bye for now. See you fairly soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.